Thank you, Nick. That's great. Let's stand together this morning. Let's stand together and take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ruth, chapter 1. Ruth, chapter 1. We'll read the first 6 verses and then we'll pray. I'll let you be seated. Ruth, chapter 1, and we'll start in verse 1. Ruth chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. A certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his 2 sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, the name of his wife Naomi, the name of his 2 sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephraimites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her 2 sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. The woman was left of her 2 sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread." Let's pray this morning. Our Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for this time we have together. We pray you'd bless the message, speak to our hearts. Lord, help us, Lord, to avoid that which happened in this story. In Jesus' name we prayed. Amen. You may be seated. You want to leave your Bible open to Ruth. We're going to read a few verses. this is one of the most well-known stories in the Bible. Eventually, it's going to end up being a love story about Ruth finding a husband and God helping a needy family. The beginning of the book, though, tells the story of how Ruth came into play and what went wrong in the first place. In the story, there was a famine in the land of Israel, and Elimelech and his family choose to go and live in Moab because of the famine. I can tell you that's not what God wanted. God did not want them having anything to do with the Moabites. In fact, if you in the law books, they were judged for intermarrying and certain things of that nature. God didn't want them leaving the promised land even during difficult times. But they did anyhow. In the course of time, Elimelech dies and he leaves Naomi and her two sons there in a foreign country alone. The two sons marry Moabite women. Again, something God did not want, because usually that would turn them away from God to serve the God of the Moabites. Over the course of time, the two sons die. And now Naomi is left with the two Moabite daughters-in-law. She hears now, after all of this has happened, that the drought is over, the famine is over in her homeland. So she finally decides, way too late, that we're going to go back home. She relieves her two daughter-in-laws of their responsibility. She tells them, I'm going home. You don't need to come with me. Stay here with your people. I'll go to my people. One of them takes her up on the offer. The other, Ruth, does not. She clings to her and goes home with her. Now, let's continue in the story. Look at chapter 1 again and look at verse 19. I want the interlude verses there are talking about the whole back and forth with her trying to tell her daughter-in-laws to go home. No, we're not. We'll stay. All right, I'll go. I'll stay. All that. So we're to this point. Verse 19. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem, Naomi and Ruth. And it came to pass, and I want you to get this phrase. This jumps out at you. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem, they're home now, that all the city was moved about them. Hey, Naomi's home. Let's go check her out. The whole city's coming to see her. And listen what they say. Is this Naomi? A phrase just jumps at you. They're like, is that her? That's not who we remember. Something different about her. She doesn't look the same. She doesn't act the same. This isn't the same person who left. Verse 20, Naomi gives the reason why. And she said unto them, call me not Naomi. Now, the name Naomi means pleasant. She says, don't call me pleasant anymore. Call me Mara. The word Mara means bitter. She goes, don't call me pleasant. You call me Mara. She goes on. For the Almighty, speaking of God, hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call you me Naomi, pleasant, seeing that the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? Sounds to me like she is bitter. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came into Bethlehem. They finally come home. Everybody sees her. And they can't believe, just by looking at her, that that's Naomi. She's not the same. Naomi confirmed the changes we saw. She was different in her appearance. She was different in her attitude. She was different in her actions. What was the problem? I'll tell you what the problem was. Bitterness. Bitterness had crept into her life. She didn't like the way things turned out. She didn't like the way that she felt God treated her. And she didn't care about what she was anymore. She said, call me bitter. Bitterness is like that. Bitterness changes a person. Bitterness is evident in a person. Bitterness takes a person who at one time may have been pleasant and makes them unpleasant. I saw an article online in the online magazine The Atlantic, and it was talking about the psychology of bitterness, and they gave several lessons, and I think a few of them apply here. They said lesson number one is bitterness follows unwanted experiences, failures, disappointments, setbacks that are perceived to be beyond one's control. All of those things happened to Naomi. They also said, lesson number two, bitterness occurs when one believes, rightly or wrongly, that other people could have prevented the undesired outcome. We call that blame. They also said that bitterness, much like other negative emotions, can forecast physical disease. See, bitterness affects you physically. That's why it was evident when she came home that there was something wrong. Older adults generally experience more disappointments that could lead to bitterness. You better be careful. Brother Chang preached here on Thursday night, our missionary to Thailand. He talked about, you know, how to get through the storms of life. Problems are coming. Those of you who are young, you don't get that. But the older you get, not that any of us in here are old, see. No one here is old. We're older, okay? But when you're 20 and you read those things in the Bible about storms, like, oh, you know, yeah, I know that's true, but it's okay. As you go through life, things are going to come. If we're not careful, if we don't handle them, it can lead to bitterness. Then the last thing they said in this article, they said, if you are bitter, you need to get help for it. You see, bitterness comes as a result of how we handle the relationships, situations, decisions, and trials that come into our life. These are things that come into everybody's life. Those are not the problem. The problem is always our response to these things. Sometimes relationships have problems. How do we handle them? Sometimes situations of life cause us grief. How do we handle them? Sometimes the circumstances of life bring us to a place that we don't want to be. How do we handle them? We make bad decisions that have serious consequences. Someone treats us wrong and we have the wrong internal reaction. We refuse to take personal responsibility for what's going on in our life and we try to place blame. We don't like what happens in our life. We don't like what's going on and we may not come out and say it, but in our heart we start to think it. What is God doing? He is the cause of this. We delay in dealing with the issues in life and they fester, and they become bitterness. No one starts out to be bitter, but if we are not careful, if we don't handle things right, we can become that which we never thought we would be. The question this morning is this Naomi? What happened? I want to notice three aspects of bitterness in this story. We'll go through them briefly. First of all, I want you to see in this question, is this Naomi? I want you to see the recipe for bitterness. What are the ingredients that would cause us or would start to lead us down a path that would bring us to a place of bitterness? First of all, you focus on a famine. Why did they move? Because there was a famine in the land. It started, they began to focus on the famine or the temporary lack that was going on in their life at that time. By the way, all of us will go through times like that. All of us will go through times when something in our life is lacking and it's not there. Things get tight. It could be in a relationship. It could be in your family. It could be things going on at your job. It could be something even in church. It could be in the resources that God has allowed you to have. It could even be in your relationship with God. We talked about that last Sunday night. We talked about the party ending so soon. But the real issue is the focus. What are we focusing on? We're focusing on things that impact us and how they impacted us. Not what I am getting out of it, but what I am putting into it. See, it always comes back to self. By the way, you can get through a famine. Famine didn't last forever. Everything always isn't going to be hunky-dory. But we get focus on self. Instead of saying, what am I doing to help this famine to come out? What can I do to make the relationship better? What can I do to make the family better? What can I do to be better at my job? What can I do to be a better steward of the resources that God has given to me? And what can I do to strengthen my relationship with God? You see, it's all on how you focus. If you focus solely on yourself, then you whine about what's going right, and you're starting on that road that will lead you to bitterness. You focus on the famine. By the way, it's ironic when we take the focus off of ourselves that we find the things that we truly need. You never get what you need by focusing on yourself. I want joy in my life, and I need this, and I need that, and I need this, and I need that to get joy. No, you focus on being the right kind of person. You know what happens? The byproduct is the joy comes. But we're focusing on the famine. I want you to notice also they had a faith that faltered. What did they do when the famine came? They went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he, his wife, and his sons. They made a bad decision based on the famine. They allowed the famine to push them to do something that was very specifically against what God had told them to do. That's a bad decision. And decisions always have consequences. To do what God tells us to do, especially when things seem to not be going right, takes faith. By the way, it takes very little faith to do the things you're supposed to do when everything's going right. When everything's going right, it's easy. We're in cruise control. Every decision we make, everything's hunky-dory. But the shoe, the rubber hits the road when you have to make a right decision and things aren't going very well. By the way, it's a shame that sometimes we have to do things when life is hard. Okay? That's a sign of a weak society. Well, you know, at the first sign that things aren't going well, we look for the off-ramp. Listen, that's not how life works. Well, you know, this relationship isn't working very well. I think I'll go somewhere else. Listen, that next relationship will be the same as that relationship. You might as well stop and work through it. Well, you know, there's a little something with someone in the church. I think I'll just go somewhere else. Can I just tell you something? There's people in that church too. Okay? If we'd be Christians and just handle it, everything would be fine. We have a faith that faltered. Let's do what we're supposed to do. We usually excuse our lack of faith by saying it's only temporary. See, the Bible says that they went to sojourn in Moab. We're just going for a little while. We're just going to go there until this thing blows over. Then if you read the next verse, it says they continued. See, the sojourn went a little longer than they thought. And then when you get to the end, and they dwelled there. That was their home. Isn't that what we do? We start having problems and we leave the very things that God wants us to have to help us get through the problems. We miss church. By the way, we need the encouragement of being together. We need the encouragement of God's word. We need that encouragement. Well, I'm just gonna take off for a little bit. No, that's never worked for anybody. I'm just too discouraged to read my Bible today. Man, that's the time you need to read it. Okay? You say, yeah, but I just didn't feel like it. Listen, get in line. Okay? If you don't feel like reading your Bible some mornings, duh. Okay? Sit down, crack it open, grab some coffee. Okay? Let me say that again. Grab some coffee with creamer. No sugar. Okay? No sugar. That ruins the whole thing. But just listen. Just do it. See, that's our whole society. Well, if I just don't feel like doing it, grow up. Well, you know, I just don't want to work because I just don't feel like working. Duh. Okay, that's an adult. We do what we're supposed to do. That was free. Thank you for coming. You know, the finances are a little tight. I just won't tithe this week or I'll catch up later. Can I say something? You never will catch up. Well, I know this is wrong and I know God doesn't want me to do it. I'm just going to do it this one time. Doesn't work that way. They did not, listen, Elimelech didn't plan on going there. He didn't plan on dying there. He didn't plan on his sons getting married there. He didn't plan on the sons dying there. He didn't plan on his wife being left there. Well, you say that just happened. He should have never went. His faith faltered. I don't know what you're going through, but I'll tell you this. Just stay with God.
Amen.
It'll be all right. Just stay with God. Everything will be fine. Don't let your feelings. Well, the grass always looks greener on the other side of the fence. But it could just be your eyesight. And you know that grass still has weeds, and it needs to be mowed. And I just have a feeling if the grass on your side of the fence died, and you go on the other side of the fence, you'll kill that grass too. It's not a grass problem. It's a you problem. It's a me problem. And then we see another reason, another recipe, is they had a family that failed. What do I mean? They lost. She lost her husband. She lost her family. She lost her sons. That is very tragic. Sometimes the road to bitterness starts when something tragic happens. By the way, none of us want tragedies to happen. It's just a part of life. It's a result of this sinful world. We're not promised anything. You say, well, I thought if we were Christians and we serve God, nothing bad will ever happen. I can cure you of that. Read your Bible. Bad things happen to a lot of those people. Why? Look, this is not our home. We're just traveling through. Our home's in heaven. Sometimes things happen. But you know what? And I'm not saying God does it, but God allowed it. And if God allowed it, he can help you through it. And you know, the little phrase will say, you're either going to get better or you're going to get bitter. Or maybe you'll get better at being bitter. Okay? It's all in our response. How are we going to respond to it? I know this. Ditching God and going our own way isn't going to make it better. So we need to be very careful. That's the recipe. Things didn't happen the way she wanted. What were the results of her bitterness? The real result is that of bitterness is that it only hurts the one who's bitter. Well, I'm bitter at what's going on in my life. Life still goes on. You can check off. You can get off the off-ramp, but it's still going to go forward. God's going to move on without you. Well, I'm bitter at that person. Can I tell you something? If you're bitter at that person, they're still sleeping at night. You're the one that's not sleeping. I'm bitter at God. Can I tell you something? He'll be fine. He'll be fine. He still loves you, and he doesn't want you to be bitter at him, but can I tell you something? You're not hurting God. Someone has said that bitterness is like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. It can happen. You only hurt yourself when you're bitter. Now, I know you lash out at others and you may temporarily hurt them, but I'm telling you the person who really is hurt is the person who's bitter. What is the result of bitterness? We've missed out. Verse 6, she said, she heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. They probably had bread for quite a while. See, the famine wasn't that long. They moved out in faith, and they didn't need to dwell there all those years. They got comfortable there. She missed out on all those years it was there. She missed out at being with her family. She missed out at seeing God visiting his people and giving them and providing for them. Why? Lack of faith. What are you going to miss out because you step out and you're bitter for a while? What are you missing out on? Well, I'll show them. You're not showing anybody anything. You're only hurting yourself. Think of it in a relationship. I get upset at Brother Chim, and I just stew on it, and I'm bitter at him, and I don't get it right with him, and he's fine. I'm hurting myself. And maybe if I just would have went to him and worked out the situation, we had a good relationship. We'd be fine. We miss out. Naomi missed out on a lot. She should have been home. God was taking care of them. Also, another result of bitterness, as I mentioned, we're messed up. We're messed up. Notice when they came back in the city, she didn't look at them and say, wow, look at all these people. Is that so-and-so? Is that so? Who's the one that looked bad? It was Naomi. That was noticeable. She's the one that was messed up. One of the hardest things about being in a church forever, and I've been here forever, is over the years you see people who this has happened to. And it's very sad and it's very tragic. By the way, I'm not condemning anybody. That could be me if I'm not careful. But I'm just saying, something happened in their life. And instead of dealing with it like God teaches us to deal with the Bible, they step away from God and say, I don't want to have anything to do with that anymore. And you see them years later, and you may not say, is that Naomi? But it's like, things aren't going very well. You see, issues are to be dealt with, not to be stewed on. But we just seem to avoid it. Don't let bitterness get in your way. Your spirit gets worse. Your relationships get worse, and your relationship with God gets destroyed. So we've messed up. What's another result? We've misjudged it. We misjudge all the things that are going on in life. Look what she said. She says, verse 20 at the end, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. No, it wasn't his fault. It was not God's fault at all. She's blaming her bitterness on God. I went out full. And the Almighty and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi? Can I just tell you something? That is a lie. The reason they went out in the first place is because they felt like they were empty. It's funny how when we look back on things and we start blaming people, we change history. There's a famine in the land. I don't have enough. I better go to Moab. And now years later, after all the negative consequences of that bad decision, she looks back and says, man, I was full when I left. No, you weren't. You would have never left in the first place. We always do that, don't we? Well, you know, back then it was this, that. Listen, when the Israelites left Egypt and things weren't going well, what did they do? We ought to go back to Egypt. After all, we had melons. Seriously? Seriously, they made it sound like they were going to a buffet. There was no buffet going on. They were treated like slave labor, working every day for no pay, and if they didn't do enough work, they got beat. Don't give me the melon routine. Isn't that what we do? We all do it. Things were so much better, and they've taken it away from me. No, you made a bad decision. We've misjudged it. Now, we have a couple minutes. Let me give you the rebound for bitterness. Let me give you how to rebound from bitterness. How do you get over it? Very easy. Think of the goodness of others. See, she's having all these problems, and in her midst is a jewel of a young lady, Ruth. She should have thanked God for that girl. Oprah, whatever you want to call her. Oprah said, I got a television show to do. I'm out of here. Just kidding. By the way, this has nothing to do with the message. She's a false prophet. I just thought I'd throw that in. Okay, it's not just some show, and I don't even know if she's on television, you know, when they're going to discuss things. She's throwing out spiritual advice, and she does not think Jesus is God, and she's got issues. Okay, let's get back to Oprah, though. Oprah. The sister. She said, she bailed out. I mean, you know, oh, I want to go with you. Let me give you a kiss. I'll go home. All right, I'll go. Look at the jewel, Ruth. Ruth had no reason to go with her. Yeah. Ruth's real family was back home. Ruth was a Moabite. But can I just tell you something? Ruth bought into God. Yes, sir. Don't ever give an excuse you can't buy into God because of your family or somebody else. Because Naomi was not a perfect example of how a Christian should be. In fact, she was a perfect example of how not to be. And in spite of everything that went, by the way, she lost a husband. She lost a father-in-law. She lost a brother-in-law. She had a mother-in-law who was bitter at God. And yet, here she is, trusting in the Lord. That's incredible. She, in a roundabout way, as you go through the story, was a cog that God used to bring Naomi out of all of this nonsense. Can I just tell you something? You have a bad relationship with somebody. Well, I'm just not going to trust people anymore. There's good people out there. And you know what? God will send them your way. Why don't you look for them? Everybody's not what you think they are. God will do it. By the way, we have a whole church full of them. The goodness of others. And of course, let's not be negligent. Another rebound is the grace of God. The grace of God. You know, they go home. When the poor in those days were able to go, when someone would glean their field, which is reaping their field, God's way to help the poor, and it'd be wonderful, Brother Jim, if we did this, instead of just giving them EBT cards and all the free money they want for doing nothing. They could go into the fields, and when they would harvest the fields, if something fell, they couldn't pick it up. The poor people would work, and they got to pick that up and keep it. God said, like, don't glean the corners of your fields. Leave those open for those who are poor to come get some food. They had to work for it. That we hate that word, don't we? Work. W-E-R-K, work. Okay? You could tell I studied English. And so Ruth says, you know what, Naomi, you hang out here. I'll go get us some food. And she starts going to the field to glean the droppings. And guess whose field she goes into? A rich, available bachelor who took notice of her. He's walking through the field. He goes, yeah, look at all these people. He's like, hello. Sister's got it going on. And he tells his young men, like, hey, stay away from her. And by the way, he's like, if she goes to the wrong place and does the wrong thing, don't say a word to her. Let her do whatever she wants. I think he noticed her. And you know what? He was a close relative. And I won't go through the rite of redemption. That means he could buy back Naomi's land. And if he bought back Naomi's land, guess who he got as a door prize? He got Ruth to wife. Amen? Say, oh, wow, that's the grace of God. God worked all of that out. And that leads to the last point, the providence of God. God was right there saying, listen, I got everything worked out for you. And through that, the bitterness goes away. When she comes back from the field, she's got this big thing of harvest that's not normal. And Naomi's not stupid. She's like, sister, who took notice of you today? Someone saw you. And they took care of you. She's like, oh, I was in the field of Boaz. And she's like, ding, 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 ding. Close relative. We got this thing. This is happening here. Then she's like, listen. She didn't say. She says, he noticed you. He knows that you're, you know, well-favored. Says, and you know what? She gives her a little plan. Go back there and do this and this because he's not going to sleep until this whole thing comes through. So she sends her back and, you know, she sneaks onto the threshing floor and she sleeps by his feet. The middle, that's what they did when they would do the harvest time. And then the middle of the night, he says he woke up. He was startled. Wonder how that happened. She probably like pinched his leg or kicked him or something. And he's like, oh, sister, thanks for coming. Then she tells him, hey, you're the close redeemer. He's like, I got it taken care of, sister. Go home. He took care of it. But you know what? God worked all of that out. You see, when things aren't going well, instead of getting bitter, why don't we look and see what God's doing? God hasn't forgot you. And by the way, we've all been there. It's like, God, where are you at? You pray and it's like, listen, that ceiling's stopping everything. Maybe I ought to go outside and pray. No, God knows what's going on. You know, God didn't fall off the throne. God hasn't forgot where you're at. But we have to wait. And it's that time, that waiting, that kills us. What am I trying to say? A lot of stuff. I'm trying to say this. Let's watch how we react to things. Let's trust the Lord. Why don't we? Look, things aren't always going to go right. But boy, don't bail out on God. Why don't we love him enough to give him a chance? You know, I feel sorry for God sometimes. We put him on trial. Oh, we first get saved and it's good and everything's wonderful. The first little problem is like, what? Oh, either God, yes, yeah. No. Why don't we give God the benefit of the doubt? Because I've read my Bible enough to know that he's worth trusting. He's worth trusting. everything will be fine. Oh, no, it may not go the way you want it to go. It may not be the way you planned it to go, but it's the way he allowed it to go, and he has a plan, and it's all good. Because I'll just be honest, and we're done. Naomi's plan wasn't very good, and it didn't work. Elimelech's plan stunk. But you know what? Even all that, God said, I'm here. I got you. Maybe you've been bitter about a few things. Hey, get that cleared up. Maybe there's somebody that you're bitter against. You need to forgive them. Maybe there's a situation you don't understand. You need to give that up. You need to give it to God. Maybe you've been upset at God. Now, we wouldn't say it like that because we think we get struck by lightning, but it happens. Maybe we need to say, you know, Lord, I've not been trusting you. My faith has faltered, and I don't want to be bitter. Let's just trust him. Let's all stand together this morning.